Platter Watch, a parenting show. Written by Lullaby Nell. Read by Opal Song.
And Rhea314.
Part 9 of As Green as a Fresh Pickled Toad series. Summary. There's a point to this, I swear. And that point is that everybody and their pet Neasel probably knows a bunch of embarrassing stories about the Potter family. Specifically, the Potter kids. Author's notes. Okay, so this is an addition to an existing Tumblr post, so here's the context.
Akio Shitpost said, I hope Lee Jordan carried on Potter Watch after the war, like just reporting on the incredibly mundane things that Harry is doing, interspersed with bad puns. So Wheel of Fortune Design added that Harry actually loves this and Potter Watch slowly becomes a parenting show. Go read the post, it's hilarious. I thought about the consequences of that and made the following addition.
The problem with this, however, is that Potter Watch parenting is probably pretty popular. The boy who lived, you know, that bloke who killed Voldemort those two times, is a pretty popular guy by himself, then became a kick-ass auror, and he's also married to that bombshell seeker of the Holyhead Harpies, turned hilariously snarky journalist, Ginny Weasley, right? Harry and Ginny are probably one of the BWW's it couples. And everybody wants to know what celebrities are up to. Hence the above media attention and Rita Skeeter's snooping. People love the celebrities being just like us stuff. So everybody wants to know how Harry handles parenting.
There's a point to this, I swear. And that point is that everybody and their pet Neasel probably knows a bunch of embarrassing stories about the Potter family. Specifically, the Potter kids. Jamie Sirius cannot meet someone's mom without her pinching his cheeks and saying, I remember when you were just an itty-bitty baby and your father was complaining about you setting the bathtub on fire with accidental magic. You grow up so fast.
And Jamie Sirius is understandably like, what?
Lily Luna goes to meet her friend's dad, and the friend's dad is like, oh yeah, your dad saved my arse years ago. And Lily Luna is used to this because her dad's a war hero, but then friend's dad goes, that man walked me through so many braiding tutorials on Potter Watch parenting, saved my life when my little girl started wanting French braids in the morning. Merlin bless him.
And Lily Luna is understandably like, okay.
And Albus Severus arrives on platform 9 3/4, ready to go to Hogwarts, with his brand new pet ferret, and some complete stranger of a woman comes up to him and is like, ooh, so you got a ferret after all. It's so cute. What's its name? My Michael was all for an owl because they're useful, but I told him, Mikey, he doesn't need an owl. His brother's got one, and owls are a good thing to build up to. Rodents are an excellent place to start, even if his father seems to have a grudge against a good rat for some reason. Susan thought you might get a snake like your mother was suggesting, but you just can't beat fluffy fur in a pet, can you?
And Albus Severus is understandably like, who the hell are you?
And this doesn't stop. Witches and wizards everywhere swear by Ginny's Quidditch witch hair charm for the active sorcerer who wants to keep their hair gorgeous, and by Harry's top three tips for a gnome three garden. Every adult witch and wizard knows for some reason that Jamie Sirius got the talk from his mother at 9 years old. The one about exploding things with magic. It's a Weasley tradition. And that Lily Luna can make a rope out of bedsheets to climb out a window. And that Albus Severus hates eating spinach with every fiber of his being, but can usually be bribed into eating it in certain cases.
At first, it seems kind of coincidental to the Potter kids, but then the coincidences pile up. And Jamie Sirius puts his foot down and demands to know how Minerva McGonagall knows that he broke his arm trying to fly when he was 5. He nearly got it, damn it! And that he had an allergic reaction to the St. Mungo's potions. Like, McGonagall is good, but she is not that good. And this is one time too many when Jamie is pretty sure that she's not that close with his parents.
And then he finds out that his teachers listen to Potter Watch Parenting in the teacher's lounge while they grade sometimes. Phileas Flitwick laughed so hard he cried when Harry and Ginny had to catch Lily Luna and Hugo Granger Weasley in their functional cardboard box airship. It had broomsticks attached and was actually an impressive feat of magical engineering. Lots of fancy flying was involved in getting the children down to the ground again.
The next morning, three howlers wing their way out of Hogwarts.
The one that goes to the Wizarding Wireless Station is a long and elaborate revenge rant, which interrupts the dismissal of a senior management meeting for lunch. After it bursts into flames on the conference table, the new owner of WWS looks over at his lunch dates. George Weasley and Angelina Johnson are howling with laughter in the doorway, while various show hosts and managers gawk at the pile of ash in front of their boss.
The WWS manager points imperiously at his lunch dates. "Do not help him," Lee Jordan orders, which just makes George and Angie laugh even harder.
The Auror office and the Daily Prophet office receive two simultaneously, which shake the windows and startle many interns. As Jamie Sirius's incredulous voice rings out through the room,
"Have you two been using Uncle Lee's radio shows as a public diary for the last 2 decades? Holy shit, Mom and Dad!" The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both Rhea and myself, as well as the author. You can find this podfic on AO3. Thank you for listening.
Yay!